Parshas Kisisa is such a long and exciting parsha. After the sin of the Chet HaEgel, which takes up the majority of the parsha, okay, the majority of the parsha is a long parsha, and the majority is about Chet HaEgel. You will notice, and by the way, for those who are paying attention, you'll see that the first two aliyahs in this week's parsha are giant. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, giant, right? Rishon and Sheni are giant, right? And much more.
No, the first aliyah.
Yeah, right. A giant, and then the Latin, and Shlishi to the end are short. What's the reason for that? Because who reads the first aliyah?
Kohen,
and the second aliyah, the Levi. The Gemara says in Megillah, that when we read this parsha, we feel disgraced. The Gemara there discusses the concept of maybe not reading things out loud, not translating it. Could you imagine? Because it's such an embarrassing parsha. Now, I have by an honest show of hands here, when they leaned Parshas Kisisa last year, were you like squirming in your seat and you felt like you wanted to just sink through the floor with shame?
No.
Oh, okay, so.
I don't remember.
Yeah, points. Take points off. You're taking points off retroactively. I'm just kidding. The Gemara says we feel embarrassed. We read this story, we feel embarrassed. So what's the pshat? Listen. What's the reason why? It's actually fascinating.
What do you mean the Kohen?
I'm showing you the Kohen. Listen, I'm explaining. I'm explaining the reason why the Kohen and the Kohanim and the Levian read the first. Read the majority of the parsha is because the beginning of parsha's Kisisa opens with Trumas and the Shem Amishcha and Shkolin, right, and the Ketores and then Shabbos until you get to the Chet HaEgel, okay, so that's Rishon Tasheni, okay, that's also, that itself is a lot of psukim, but then we set it up that the Levian read. The Levi reads the story of the Chet HaEgel. Okay, because they were not as guilty in the Chet HaEgel, right? And the Kohanim and the Levim were not chote in the Chet HaEgel like everyone else. So it's less embarrassing for me to read this story. I'm a lady. Right? Less embarrassing. For you to read this story, it's embarrassing. It's about your grandpa.
Could it be considered like gaiva?
It's about your grandpa. No, it's not gaiva. It's just it's less of a disgrace than reading it about.
That's Chaim said, I'm a
kohen. Right, exactly. It's right, exactly. Right. That's the famous story, exactly. So you'll have to ask him. So fine. So then after that's the bulk of the story, that's the bulk of the parsha, very, very long and drawn out discussion. Then we have Salacha, where Moshe Rabbeinu gets the directive, instruction from God. You write the Sefer Torah, right? You carve out the luchas that we spoke about last time, luchas shnias, and fine, he brings it down. He gives it to Am Yisrael. I'd like to look at the very end of the parsha with you. I told you. A couple times ago. The very end of the parsha, which I said is the part of the parsha for those who were not here, and things that we arrive at, things that people, mamash, careful, people have never even seen, never heard of. They're shocked. They can't even believe I'm telling the truth until I show them inside. Okay, this is what I want to continue discussing with you. We learned earlier in the week. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down the mountain. Fine, we're on page 514 in the Stoner. He comes down the mountain, and his face is glowing, is shining. Beams of light are pouring out of his face.
Isn't that a horn?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Okay, I'm glad you mentioned it. Okay, the pasuk says Ki Karan Arpanav. Okay, this is what I told you that the Christians, or people who are, don't know much, ignorant, So they say, oh, the Jews have horns. Have you heard that? The Jews have horns. And you go in the south, you know, and they'll ask you to pick up your yarmulke if they could see your horns.
Because
Moses has horns. Where do you have Moses has horns? Look, it's on our parasha, right on page 515 in the Stoner. He had horns, okay? Karan Arpanav, he had horns coming out of his head. Okay, what does that mean? Because if you know, if you read the Hebrew, Karan Ar is a beam of light, right? So laser in Hebrew, in modern Hebrew. Yeah, Karnear. That's what Karnear is, a laser in Hebrew. It's a laser. It's a beam of light. It's a they call it a horn, right? It's a beam, right? So it's sticking out. It's protrusion. It's a protrusion, right? It's like a lightsaber, right? A lightsaber, exactly. So it looks like a sword. Like a knife sticking out of his head. No, it's not a knife sticking out of his head. It's a horn. The horn is a ray of a beam of light. It's not a lightsaber, exactly. It's not a horn. It's a beam of light. Okay.
What
did
you say,
Anpanav?
Ma?
On his
face.
Kikaran Arpanav. Okay. Yeah. Right.
Is that that I read that as horn?
Yeah, Karen is a horn. You learned Baba Kama. Karen is a horn. Karen.
They read everything literally. Like,
yeah, but Karen doesn't mean, but it means a beam. That's what it means, right? A beam of light. You could say. So it's coming out of his face. And here we're going to see a story, like I started to tell you. You see a story that everyone gets freaked out. It's like a science fiction movie. I was like, and everyone starts running away from him. And they're terrified of him. And he has to put on a mask. He's a put the psukim in the Torah. And I told you, you don't get to it because it's the end of the parsha. You know, if you can even get there, you're exhausted, right? Or you're, even if you're not ADD, by the time the guy reaches Kriyas HaTorah, you're ready to kill the Baal Korah. It's okay, enough already, right? So people say, they don't know this little page. So here it says, Moshe Rabbeinu wore a mask. Did you know that? Moshe Rabbeinu wore a mask? That's right.
Mask.
Right? And you're Orthodox for, you know, quite a few years already. That's the point, right? And it wasn't Purim. That's what I'm saying. It wasn't because it was Purim. If you would meet Moshe Rabbeinu, you would meet a man with a mask. That's how he looked. Okay? That's right. We're going to read it in the Torah right now. You have a stoner? Okay, so look at it. Read the Bible. And you'll see it. It says it right there on the page. Page 514. That's what we're looking at. Okay? That's what we're going to look at today, right now. Chumash Rashi. Let's go. Pasuk Chav Ches. I'm going to read Hebrew, English, paraphrase, we'll read together. Moshe Rabbeinu was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Chav Ches, 28. He did not eat any bread. He didn't drink any water. He writes the Luchos. Vayi beredes Moshe me'ar Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down the mountain. Ushnei Luchos ha'edus b'yad Moshe. He's holding the Luchos. This is Luchos Shnius. Moshe lo yada, Moshe was not aware. Ki karan or panav. Bidabro ito. Moshe was not aware that his face was shining. Radiant light was shining, pouring out of his face. So much so that you couldn't look, right? You couldn't look at him. You couldn't look at him, right? The Gemara says, right? Pnei Moshe, Pnei Chama. Can you look at the sun?
No.
You can't look at the sun. It's like, it's too much for me. I can't look at it. You cannot look at the face of Moshe, but the imagery that is so intriguing to me and so calls my attention is the fact that the Torah says, Moshe lo yada. Moshe was not aware. He was not aware of what was happening. To me, that's like amazing. That, again, that imagery is it's phenomenal. Like, you understand? I see a guy, like, you're sitting there in the restaurant, and you say, hey, you know, hey, Bob. What is it? Here. What? You got chocolate on your lip, you know? Oh, thanks. Over here? No, over there. No, lower. There, yeah. There, no. Is it off? No, it's not off. Yeah, here. Right? That's how it goes. Right? People can't, they're not aware. They don't see what's on their own face. Okay, I get that. You know, but I appreciate the imagery, how far it goes here. His face is... You understand what's happening? It's like, he's blinding people. And he you can't go near people. Are terrified of him. And Moshe's totally oblivious to this. Completely. He's no idea, totally unaware of how he presents. Now just stop and think about that imagery for a moment. And he's meandering down the mountain. You know, here he is. You know, everything seems to be okay. Right? And suddenly, you can just imagine what was happening. Suddenly, he gets to the camp and everyone's like, oh, you know, Moshe there. Suddenly everyone's like, whoa! They start like running away. And what does Moshe think? What does Moshe think? Come on. Be creative. Be creative.
They don't want to.
They're afraid of him.
Okay. Come on. You're going to like this. Come on. Give me some thoughts. What is Moshe? What can Moshe be thinking about what the Jewish people are thinking?
I forgot to pull up his pants.
I'm scared.
Does this have any recollection? Does this bring us back to Luchos Rishonis?
They're mad at him for dropping
the Luchos. Angry at him for dropping the Luchos. What else?
They're jealous of him.
Give me more ideas. Come on.
Thought that he was going to get them killed.
Maybe they're nervous at what? He's going to do it again. Maybe he's mad at them. Maybe he's going to break them. Oh no, he goes so much out. You know, brace for impact. You know, get ready. They're ready. Like, and look at the Torah says. Look at the Torah says. Yeah, where are we? Vayiru migeshes elov. They were terrified. They were terrified of Moshe Rabbeinu. And who's terrified? Not just the regular Jews. But I showed you the Pasuk Lamed. Vayar Aharon. V'chol b'nei Yisrael es Moshe. Look at that. Who's scared of Moshe?
Aharon.
His own brother. Right? His own brother. Can you imagine? It's like, oh, some guy you don't know. Okay. You know, when's the nice man coming, mommy? Oh, like, oh, he's coming. Oh, this is it. This is it. This is not the nice man. This is his own flesh and his own brother. He's running for his life. He's terrified of this guy. Right? No, but not like that. True. Good. You get points. Right? Nice. Okay. Nice. You get points. But not like this. Nice. Very good. But not like this, right? They're terrified of him. So you want to say, okay, they're terrified because you want to give it like a historical, psychological, you know, a reason. Yeah, listen, after the terrible trauma that happened the last time they saw Moses, he had some difficult memories. Okay. But what is the reason? Let's take a look at this. Let's try to understand this. Simply, he's a freak. And I'm sorry to say it like that. He doesn't look normal. In other words, lav davka that they're, like I'm saying, they're afraid that he's going to do something to them or about what happened last time. He does not look like a human being. He looks like, I don't know what you call it, a ghost? I don't know what you call these guys. You know, how does someone look when they look like a... They're walking around like a bolt of lightning, you know. You know, it's like the movies. You know, it's like those science fiction movies.
Yeah.
That's what it is. The guy looks scary. He doesn't. Right? Even if you love someone, you're not ready for it. He looks. It's frightening. It's traumatic to see someone like that. He's not a regular dude. He's shining. What does this remind us of? What was it that the Jewish people were at Mount Sinai and they saw something that was very overpowering and terrifies them? Yeah. By Maimed Har Sinai. By Maimed Har Sinai.
Don't get points either.
Right? Yeah. Maimed Har Sinai, Hashem, there is Hashem. Hashem, some type of spiritual exposure, and the Jewish people freak out.
The miracle.
Right? God, he's God. God nuts. Isn't God loving? Isn't God loving? Right? They love God, but they're terrified like anything. They're very scared. Right? So, the Torah tells us, so what do we have? He didn't know that his face was shining. Okay? Which is, again, it's just so amazing. it wasn't totally, he was totally unfocused on himself. You know? He's so not focused on his own existence. He's purely focused on God, thinking about the Jewish people.
That's what made him humble.
You know? Again, it's like the movies, you know? It's like, okay, excuse me for having to lower the standard, please forgive me, but just so you can understand, because you've seen this type of, you know, you've seen this scene many times, you know, the guy, he's busy saving the girl, and, you know, he gets dragged through the Amazon, you know, and then he, like, jumps off a building and jumps into a furnace, you know, and whatever happens, right? And then, like, he shows that, you know, he saves the day and gets the gold and, you know, whatever he does, right? I mean, he wins, right? And then he beats the bad guy, you know, and then it's like the end of the movie, he's like, he looks down, he's like, you know, and the guy goes, you know, and the guy sees him, he's like, you know, Jim. He's like, what is he? Like,
you look like human garbage.
You know, like, maybe, you know, maybe change your clothes. You know, he looks down, he's like, holy smokes, you know, his face is white, you know, his hair is, you know, whatever. You know, the guy looks like, but he wasn't noticing. You know, was he noticing? He's busy, he's not thinking about himself. That's the point. In other words, forgive the movie reference. But that's the point. You hear how Moshe is, he's not even... He's totally not uninvolved with himself. So he has no idea. Okay, he sees them running away. So he calls them back, and then again, it's like the when I read this pasuk Lamed Aleph, it reminds me of like the Beauty and the Beast, you know. Whatever let's go back to the movies here, right? It's like the Hunchback, you know, like the guy who feels so. Is made to feel so disgusting or dirty, you know, or scary. Are you a scary guy? Can you imagine walking down the street and kids start running away from you? Like, but am I so scary? Like, what's wrong with me? You know, am I a devil? How do I look?
You
know,
what
am I doing that's so offensive to other people? Right? So he's running after them. He chases after them. They start running away. They start running away. Pasuklamen. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, he calls out, hey, come back, please, here, come back, you know, he cried, Leah Moshe, please, come on, I'm only Moshe, I'm not going to hurt you, I promise, I brought you the Luchos. So as the Pasuk says, Yeshua, I love Aaron, V'chal HaNasiyim. So who comes back? His brother comes back. In other words, the Jewish people, they don't come back. They don't know him as well. His brother, okay, he's won his brother's trust now. His brother comes back. The Jewish people, they don't come back. They're too scared. They don't know him. His brother goes, me, it's me. Okay, so his brother comes back. And I see him come back. And Moshe speaks to them. Tov, Pasuk Lamed Beis. Moshe tells them what happened in Arsina. He talks to them. He tells them. Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Moshe finishes his speech. Finishes his message, right, to Aaron and the Zekanim. Vayitain al panav masveh. Says the Torah, he put on a mask. He put on a mask. I told you. To me, this story in the Torah is just, it's so wild. It so captures the imagination. Everyone has a page, you know, everyone, you turn the page, it affects you in your own way. But if I read this page, I read this story in the Torah, like, it's really hard to process this story. He wore a mask, you think, oh yeah, okay, so, okay, you know, he put on a mask one time because his face was shining. No. Read the Mefarshim. Look at Rabbeinu Bachaye. He wore the mask for the rest of his life. A mask! Moshe Rabbeinu looked like a Darth Vader.
You wore a ski mask?
You wore a mask. I don't know what you wore. I don't know. I can't. That wasn't that. I don't know what the mask looked like. But that's how he looked.
Nice.
Listen to the story.
Where did he get it?
That you take out a mask. He puts a mask on. Lefnei Hashem. Okay, guys. Ubevoy Moshe pasuk lamed dalid. Ubevoy Moshe lefnei Hashem ledaber ito. Moshe came to speak to God. Yosir es hamatsa atzeso. The mask did not stay on forever. The default status quo position, Moshe wears a mask. But when God would call him in and he would talk to God, he would take off his mask. Why do you think he would take off his mask? Okay, so like you'll say respect to the, like, yeah, respect. You're talking to the King of Kings, you know. You're gonna shave before you meet the president, you know. Like, what are you? You know, it's like, take that thing off, you know. It's like Bartholomew's hats, you know. Like, please, you know, a little respect for the King of Kings. You know, you're talking to God. Take that thing off, please. Okay, fine. That's a cute answer. How, what else? Give me another reason why you would take it off.
Oh, his face is shining.
His face is shining like a nuclear.
That's when he got the Torah. That's what he got.
Supernova.
Say that again.
That's what he got when he got the Torah.
Yeah, but it was like that forever.
That's when he met Hashem.
Oh, so
now you have to get back to
Hitler. Okay, very good. Thank you. You're giving me an answer.
Hashem had the light.
He has an answer. He's telling me. Good. That's a good answer. Why would he take it off? Right, we have to discuss in a moment where, how did he receive that light? How did that happen? Right, how did he get that light? But Akiva flicks. Nice to see you, Akiva flicks. I love you, Akiva flicks.
It's always good to see you. Is he still your favorite Talmud?
My favorite Talmud in Berkus HaTorah, Akiva flicks.
Do you have to share anymore?
So, hold on. Akiva flicks says that the, why does Moshe take it off? Because, as we'll see, he received this big light from his exposure to God. And now, he's back with God again. In other words, when you go to God, you go face to face. He's talking to God himself. This is personal.
Why would he keep it off?
God, first of all, is obviously not scared of him. Right? You see that. Obviously, God is not scared of Moshe's face. Right? Correct?
The superhero's in his house. He doesn't wear his mask.
Right. Exactly. It's cute, right? Moshe, you know, Superman, you know, when he's home, he's Clark Kent. You know, he doesn't put on his super suit. You know what I mean? He puts on his cape when he's Superman. You know what I'm saying? Right now, we're just talking to God. He's not. You know, okay,
well, he's Superman. Is that right?
Okay, no, but he, yeah, but he's saying, listen, you don't have to. Okay, no, it's just a cute. I appreciate it. Oh, I like it. I like it.
He removes his
no, but then his relationship. He's not presented to Jewish people. He's just him and God. Just him and God. He takes off the mask. He's exposed. He exposes himself, and he sees God directly.
Not me.
Oh, you still?
Hold on a second. I will tell you that there's a there's a discussion. Why do we cover our face when we say Shema?
Eagles.
Why do we cover our eyes? We cover our face when we say Shema. Right? Have you noticed that?
Right?
So one idea is because it's you should have more kavana. You don't want to see out. Because you want to cover your eyes. In other words, I shouldn't be distracted by other people. But there's another reason why we cover our eyes. Because that is a Shah. That moment is V'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha. That's a moment of deep intimacy between me and God. At which point, that's my private moment. I don't want others to see in. There's no one else's business, right? But you see people that daven in, they go like this, right? It's very real. I'm having a private, personal expression. Right?
Yeah.
Or people go like this, yeah. Or people like that, yeah. 100%. They're talking to God. That's real. They're talking to God. They're having a private moment, right? So to speak, in other words, okay, listen, when other people are there, okay, I'm going to wear a mask, but it's just me and God. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu takes off the mask. He takes off the mask. It's a private moment between him and Hashem. Right? No one else can see. It's just he's up in Shemayim, right? So now, fine. Okay, we're going to see Rashi. Let's just finish the psukim, and then we're going to look more deeply. Okay. So he finished talking. He puts on a mask when he speaks to God. He takes off the mask. Then, watch this. Then he leaves. He would leave. He would go transmit the message that God had told him to the Jewish people. V'diber al b'nei Yisrael. What Hashem had said. Said the last pasuk in the parasha, Lamed Hei. V'ro b'nei Yisrael es p'nei Moshe ki koran ar p'nei Moshe. When Moshe Rabbeinu would teach the Torah, teach the Jewish people the Torah that he had just been instructed, his mask would still be off. He would talk to God, would go take off the mask, talk to God, share the message of God with the Jewish people, with the mask off still. And then Veheishiv Moshe es hamasver, then he would return the mask back al panav onto his face, ad bo ledaber ito, until he would go back again to speak to Hashem. So he'd walk around with a mask always. Okay, it was that moment when he would speak to God and then teach that to the Jewish people, then the mask would be off. Okay? Why would the mask be off? But the Jewish people are going to be looking at it. Right? The mask would be off. But we have to say,
uninterrupted.
Interesting. He's interesting. He's teaching Torah. Okay, and what? And therefore what?
Maybe they weren't as faced or...
Another interesting. And let us take a step, jump back to Parshas Yisro, the end of Parshas Yisro. When, like I said, the Jewish people see God, right? And they said, "Oh, it's scary for us. It's scary for us." And what does Hashem say? It's good for you. It's good, right? It's. Hold on. So they would see Hashem. They did see God. It was scary for them. They say it was scary. And Hashem said, "It's very good that you're scared." In other words, that's how you're going to get your Shemayim. When I am talking to you and it's intimidating. Okay, good. You get your Shemayim. Right. I mentioned this to you once. Right. At the end of Parshas Yisro. Right. So when Moshe Rabbeinu would teach them. So you'll say they're scared? Yeah, okay. So they were intimidated, but they're hearing from God, right? That was like an experience of hearing from God, hearing the word of God. Okay, Rabbeisai. So that's the, I'm just trying to read the psukim as they go. Let's take a look at Chazal. Let's take a look at Rashi and Chazal, and we'll have to see what we can see in a few minutes, and then we'll have to stop for today. Let's start from the beginning. Why in the world did Moshe's face begin to shine like a massive explosion, a massive light, a floodlight? You couldn't look at it. It was like changed his appearance. So Rashi brings. So first of all, let's go back to the Pesukim themselves. First of all, if you look at Pasuk Chaf Dalet, excuse me, Pasuk Chaf, sorry, Pasuk Chaf Ches, and Pasuk Chaf Tes, the Pesukim themselves up front are telling you two things. Up front, before you read any Chazal. Number one, it says he was up in Shamayim for 40 days and 40 nights. He did not eat and he did not drink. It tells you that. Okay? Now, if someone doesn't eat for 40 days and 40 nights, say whatever you want, they don't look normal. Right? You go to the Far East and they meditate and levitate and whatever they do. Just kidding. Right? But they ask people who go on those, you know, diets, fasts for a long time, they start to it's like an out-of-body, you start going crazy. It's hallucinating. You know what I mean? Right? So right away, you see that there's something happening. And the Medrash asks, how in the world, we know this, how did Moshe Rabbeinu live for 40 days and 40 nights without eating or drinking? Right? That's definitely true. Right? It's definitely true. A person cannot, you can't live. Isn't that a fair question? You want to explain to me in simple, clear, biological terms how in the world Moshe Rabbeinu didn't die? And by the way, that's one of the reasons why they thought he was dead. They said, walk up the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. What, he took a suitcase of food and drinks? He took a backpack? We saw he walked up with nothing. Of course he's dead. How can he be alive? It's 40 days and 40 nights. The guy's by himself. Hey, obviously, he's not, obviously there's something wrong, right?
Isn't it like 80 days?
No, this is the first 40 days.
But he came down for Yom
Kippur. No. You have to read the story again. The second time he comes back to Yom Kippur. But in any case, but the point is that what did he eat, right? What did he eat? And the Medrash discusses this. He was nourished by the Shekhinah. He was nourished and sustained by the Torah. Yeah. By the Torah. That's what the Medrash says. By looking at the Shekhinah, it's as if he ate and drank. That's what the Medrash says. Right? The Pasuk says so beautifully, if we can apply this, right? What does the Pasuk say in Parshas Ekev? Lelamdecha, what does the Torah say? You should know, ki lo ala lechem levado yichyeh ha'adam, ki al kol motza pi Hashem yichyeh ha'adam. What does that mean? What does that pasuk mean, my friend?
Not
on bread alone does man live, but
anything that Hashem
gives, man, anything that Hashem presents or says or decides, man to live, person to live. That's what man could live on, right? So the one second. So the pasuk says. So that's what a man can live on. And the simple interpretation, what does that mean? That's talking about the man. And what happened? The man falls from the sky. That's not bread. What's the depth of what the Torah is telling you there? That's not bread. How could you live, right? Hashem decides. Guys, please. Hashem decides what will nourish and sustain you. And if Hashem gives you stuff that falls from the sky, which looks like crystal, you know, is it food? Is it real food? It wasn't real food. The Gemara said they didn't go to the bathroom. It wasn't real food. It was some type of, who knows what, magical substance. It comes from God. If it comes from God, you can live. Right? Just like that, you with the man for 40 years and 40 years. Right? For 40 years, right? They live on it. So for 40 days, Moshe also could eat it. He wasn't eating man, but so what's the difference? The one who says you can live on man, he says that you can live on, you can live on Ruchnius, you can live on Torah. Yeah. You can be Nizan al Yedei the Shechina. That's what it says. Nizan by way of the Torah. Right? So, that's how he's sustained. And by the way, I just want to say that beautiful, beautiful pasuk. It's also true the other way. If I can humbly suggest, right, that not only is it possible to live on bread, you can also live on man. But I would like to read the pasuk differently, or in addition, you read it otherwise and say, fine, you can also live on man, fine, or you also live on ruchnius, fine. But let's say you don't need man and ruchnius. Guess what? I have actually bread. I have pizza. I have real bread. So okay, I can live on bread. So the Torah, the chiddush is you can even live on other things, right? No, I want to say another, an additional pshat. If you eat bread, let's say you have as much bread as you want. Guess what? You cannot live on bread alone. A person cannot live on bread alone. Bread is not good enough. Bread will not sustain you. You know what else you need? You need Motza Pi Hashem. Protein. You need Motza Pi. Gosh, I can't believe you just said it. Okay? You need Motza Pi Hashem. You know what you want? You need Torah. You need Ruchnius. It's not good enough to, right? A life with just plenty of money and food, right? That's not, that doesn't do it. That doesn't breed fulfillment. That doesn't nourish your soul, You see that? You need soul food to nourish yourself. You need Torah. You need luchos. You need iskarvus to the Shechina. Okay. Okay. So where did Moshe get his light from? It's clear in the pasuk. Like I said, b'dabro ito. If you look at pasuk chav chesn chavtes, Hashem spoke to him. So before he had any medrash, it's mefurash. B'dabro ito. He had spoken to God because he had such exposure, direct exposure to Hashem. So it transformed him. It changed him. Great question. The medrash asks your question. Rashi brings it. Great question. Okay? It changed him. His light, which his face was shining. His face was shining. Says the second answer. The second answer is similar. Right? The Medrash says, "The Tanchum and our Parsha, and the Medrash Rabbah and our Parsha from the Luchos. From the Luchos, the pasuk says in Chabakuk, Perek Gimel, Karnai Miyadola." Right, he had beams of light from what was in his hands. He was holding the luchos, which we said yesterday or earlier this week, because the luchos themselves were part of, I don't know how you describe it, but based upon last times, were part of Hashem's kisei hakavod of sorts. Right, so essentially, he had extreme exposure to Hashem, and that's why his face was shining. And I want to stop for a moment to look at the impact and the lesson of here. We are learning that a spiritual experience, an experience of Kirvas Elokim, it leaves its mark on you. It makes an impact. It leaves its imprint on you. It's likely that you will not even notice it. It's likely that you yourself will be unaware of it. Moshe lo yada. But other people, they will know. They will see. And we must say that the opposite is true as well. If someone encounters exposure to, extreme exposure to impurity and unholy things, it leaves its mark. It leaves its mark. It leaves its mark on your appearance. It leaves its mark on who you are. And maybe you'll think, no one notices. Who's going to notice? But you see in the story, it's not true. Someone who becomes so holy, such close, such kedusha, such unbelievable. High doses of godliness, it changes them. It changes them. You can see their face shines, right? You see someone on Yom Kippur, at the end of Yom Kippur. I don't know. I always felt this way. You see people at the end of Yom Kippur. It's like lechem lo yachal before the face is shining. They don't eat. They didn't drink. You ever see that? People they're holy. They look holy. Right? Mamash has a shine. Fine. This is... that's one set of ideas. Right? The Gemara in Erev in Yud Gimel says that Rebbe is explained why he was so great. Rebbe says, you want to know? Rebbe was Rebbe. Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, the great Rebbe. Right? And he was explaining, you know why I'm so great? Because I saw the back of Rebbe Meir. That's what he said. I sat in shir, and I saw I was sitting in the back. I saw, in other words, behind Rebbe Meir, but I saw his back. Because I saw his back, That's why I was zocheh to. And if I would have seen his face, that would have been even greater. That's what he says. That's what he said. I once met a super tzaddik. I met a great, unbelievable tower of holiness and godliness and righteousness and you know, a wellspring of Jewish wisdom. Rabbi Meir, Rabbeinu Meir. And that's why, can you believe it? That's what he attributes his greatness to? Yeah. Because I had an exposure to something very holy and it left its mark on me. It left its impact and imprint on me. And the Gemara says, and if you would see his face, even better. And therefore, you should try to see, look at the face of a holy tzaddik.
You should then.
Yes. You should. Yes, the Pasuk says, you the Gemara brings the Pasuk. Should see the face. And I knew my holy mother-in-law. May her memory be blessed. My Rebbe, my mother-in-law. So, she would. This might sound crazy, but she used to like, you know, her kids, her grandkids, the kids around the house, she would take, you know, in their crib, like a picture of a little Red Riding Hood, you know. I don't know, whatever you're going to put a picture of, you know, whatever, who knows what, you know, whatever picture you're going to put. She would not know, she would put the picture of, you know, of the tzaddik in front of her. Here, take a look at the Nelson C. Finkel. Like, you know, she put a picture of the Chavetz Chaim, the picture of can you believe that? She put a picture of the tzaddikim in front of the kid. You know, put that around the crib. Let them look at that. Wait, it makes a difference? So you see this, Gemara, say, yeah, it makes a difference. You know, look at something holy and leaves an impact on you. Rashi brings, this from this Medrash, he brings the pasuk early in this week's parsha, because what happened? Hashem said, I just want to explain, to be more clear, what does it mean he had exposure? It wasn't just that Hashem spoke to him in Har Sinai, it's true. And he was on Har Sinai for a long time, it's true. But there was also a moment of escalated holiness. When God says to Moshe, says, I want to see you, Hashem. And Hashem says, you can't really see me, right? Okay, I'll let you see my back. Sounds familiar? You'll see my back. And what does he see? The Pasuk says, Hashem put him at Nikras Atzur. It's a Pasuk in our Pasha. Right? Nikras Atzur, right? In the cave, so to speak, as the Medrash says, he was in a cave. He says, you go in the cave, I'm going to pass by the front of the cave, you'll see my back. Whatever that means. But you know what? It says the Medrash, as Rashi brings. You want to know where Moshe got his shine from? Because he had such close exposure from the cave. When he was in the cave, and Hashem passed by the front of the cave, he saw Hashem's back, he had exposure. If he would have seen even more, he would have more exposure. Right, so his face is shining. That's why his face is shining. Okay? So, the Medrash has another pshat. This is also wild. The Medrash says, from the leftover ink, when Moshe Rabbeinu was writing the Torah, he was writing the Torah scroll, and he had leftover ink, and he took the leftover ink, I didn't want to waste it, there's some leftover ink, so what did he do? He, I don't know, it sounds kind of strange, but he shook it out, you know, against his hair. In other words, he like there was a little extra ink, so he went like this, like just to finish the ink in the pen, right? A little more, fine. There must have been a drop left. And from that, Moshe Rabbeinu had his face was shining, because he had with the stuff that the Torah is written from, he had on his body, on his face. Therefore, his face was shining. So the Mefarshim wonder, like, what does that mean? What does that mean? And they say as follows. The Archaim writes this. They say as follows. It says, and Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to write a pasuk. Okay? And he took dictation. What's the pasuk? Yahaya Moshe Anav Yikal Adam Asher Al Pnei Adam. Which means, Moshe was the most humble man on the face of the earth. Can you imagine? You're the guy who's writing the Torah. Okay, next. Vayedaber. Hashem. El Moshe. You know, God's like, you know, dictating. El Moshe. Lamar. Okay. Lamar, right? Yeah. Lamar, the usual. Lamar. Okay. Daber. El. B'nai. What was that? B'nai. Okay, I heard you. B'nai. Yisrael, etc. That's how Moshe wrote the Torah, right? So then Hashem gets to the thing. Okay, Moshe. Anav Mikal Adam. there's a pause. Hashem's like, come on, are you writing? Moshe's like, oh, come on, I can't write that. He says, come on, write it. That's what I'm saying. Come on, I'll fire you. You'll be fired as a secretary, you know. Come on, write. So Moshe has to write what Hashem says. He has to write that he's the most humble man on earth. You imagine, with someone who has so much humility, how can he write such a thing? How could you do that? Can you imagine? So he has to write it. He's forced. But when he wrote the word Anav, instead of spelling it like it would be spelled, Al Ayin Nun Yud Vav, he wrote it without the Yud. Ayin Nun Vav. That's how it's spelled in the Torah. You can look. Spelled without a Yud. So Chazal writes it. As they say, oh. Where was that? How was there extra ink in the pen? Why God made a mistake? There shouldn't have been any ink left in the pen. Why would there be any ink left in the pen? And how did he decide to put it on his face? There was ink left in the pen because there was supposed to be a yud that was never written. Because Moshe did not want to, you know, did not want to focus on his quote unquote greatness of his humility. He was humble, so he didn't write it. It was extra, right? The Chanukah Satara has another pshat, an additional pshat, because in last week's parasha, right, Moshe Rabbeinu says, or actually in this week's parasha, Moshe says, Mecheni lami sifracha, right, take me out of your Torah, when he writes famously in parashas Tetzava, even though Moshe is in every single parasha in the Torah, from the beginning of Sefer Shmos, from Parasha Shmos until Mezos Abracha, Moshe is in every single parasha in the Torah. He's the most important character in the Torah, in the Chumash, hands down, without any question. But his name is absent from one parasha, because Moshe said, take me out. So his name should have been in that parasha, but since Moshe said, take me out, Hashem took him out, there's extra ink in the pen. Why? Both times, there's extra ink in the pen because of what? Because of Moshe's humility. What does the Mishnah say? Kol ha-bireach min ha-kavod. Anyone who runs away from honor. We mentioned this a few weeks ago when we spoke about Aaron. Anyone who runs away from honor? Honor chases after him. He tried to be humble. He has a little extra mark. He's Nick Chapin. He tries to get rid of it so no one will see. Meanwhile, what happens? And now his face is shining brightly. Right? Which is from the ink that should have been written. Moshe should have written his righteousness in the Torah. Instead, his righteousness literally on his face that he's showing up, that he's showing to everyone by mistake. It's showing to everyone by mistake. I just want to deal with your question, and I just want to look at some of the Rashis, okay? And then we'll just have to stop for today, okay? I'm going to paraphrase some of the Rashis outside that show us more. There's more to say, but Rashi definitely brings some new ideas here for us. In Pasuk Lamed, Rashi asks your question, Menashe's question. Vayiru migashe zela. Bo re'ei kama gedola kocha shel avera, says Rashi. Rashi's quoting the Medrash. He's troubled. I don't understand. What happened after Luchos Rishonis? Didn't he see God? When Luchos Rishonis, Moshe didn't see God? Wasn't he Har Sinai? Didn't God speak to him? Of course he was. Back when he came down the first time. Right? The first time they're not, they don't freak out from him. Right? They're not terribly scared of his shine. Right? But did he have a shine? Did he not have a shine? Why are they not scared of his shine? Says Rashi. Sha'ad shalo poshtu yideyem ba'aveiru ma'o omer omar ha'kovad Hashem ke'esh ha'chel espore shahar le'nei b'nei Yisrael. V'lo yireh v'lo mizdazim. U'misha asu etza egel af mikan ehodo shal Moshe ha'yum martim u'mizdazim. Says Rashi from the Medrash. You want to know something? After Luchos Rishonos, Moshe, not only did Moshe have a shine, they weren't scared of Moshe's shine. You know why?
They just saw.
Because they were on such a high level of their own gedula, because they had not sinned. They were righteous. And God himself had exposed himself to him. God had exposed himself to them as well. They'd also seen God, right? They were pure, they were righteous, they were good. Moshe exposes them. We can handle him. No problem. We're not scared of Moshe. They even saw God. Says Rashi. All the more so. They even saw God. Har Sinai, Parshas Yisro. They even saw God.
What?
The eagle's up, isn't it?
That was the first time he went down.
Rabbi Yisai. The story is like this. And Vav Siv and Moshe Rabbeinu is invited to come up the mountain. Hashem speaks the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, to him and to the Jewish people. Okay? And Moshe kisses everyone goodbye, and then he goes up the Shemayim for 40 days and 40 nights to learn the rest of the Torah. Then he comes down on Yud Zayin Shivasa B'Tamuz, right? Yud Zayin Tamuz, and that's 40 days later.
That's when the Lukas were working.
Yes.
But
40 days after.
Bring Lukas down.
That's 40.
He didn't bring Lukas.
When?
After the Lukas.
Right.
Yeah, so his face was shining from what? They saw Hashem when they got the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu.
Yeah, then, and also when he came down with the Luchos Rishonos on Shavuot Zebetamas, he's also wearing, he's also shining, isn't he?
But here when they realize.
In other words, either way, I'm actually not pointing out. So either way, before they sin, basically, that's the concept. Before they sin, they're okay, they're also holy. You're right, so maybe in Echanan, because there's a point. The first time, Moshe Rabbeinu was up on Sinai, he comes down and says, I'm going up again. Right, I understand your question better. Right? We're going up again. Okay, so they weren't scared of him then. They had seen God at Har Sinai. So on Zion Sivan, before he goes back up for 40 days, right? They weren't scared of him. So because they had also seen God. They were righteous. So look at the koach of Avera. Right? Rashi's, so to speak, adding on to what we said earlier. Look at the koach of Avera. You have an Avera, look what it does to you. They used to be able to see God, and now they can't even see Moshe. Right? They can't even see Moshe. And who's to say that they themselves did not have a shine at Har Sinai? Paska zu hamasa. Remember? Paska zu hamasa. Right? They came onto a level of Adam Arishan before the Chet. Did you know that? The Gemara is Shabbos Kuf Mem Vav. Unbelievable Gemara. I mentioned it last time. They got to a level of Moshe Rabbeinu called the Chet. So they were on a high level of Adam Arishan before the Chet. They were very, very, where he had a direct exposure to God. That's exactly what they had, direct exposure to God. And guess what? Then they sin. Moshe doesn't sin. Right, so they're. Look at the power of sin. Sin brings you down. I just want to read you one more Rashi. Rashi says something powerful that in the last pasuk in Lamed Gimel, he adds another dimension here. He says, "What was the purpose of the mask?" It's true. Now, there was a lot of questions to be dealt with here. Why was his face shining? Right? Why are they scared now and not before? What was the purpose of the mask? Why were they scared? Right? It's just that we're scared, or did the mask serve another purpose? And Rashi says, yes, it did. What's that? It wasn't just that there wasn't only about them being scared. Beger aniten, the mask is a mask, he explains. Beger aniten keneger apartu v'beis ha'inayim. With the chvoid karne ha'hod, it was in honor of the beams of
grandeur,
beams of splendorous, beams of holiness. Shelo yazunu hakol me'em, so that the Jewish people would not gawk and stare and gain spiritual pleasure or some type of pleasure from them. Excuse the analogy. It's like, why does a woman cover her beautiful body? So men don't, so this, you know, that other guy won't stare at her. Won't stare at her. Can you believe that? Right? Because that's the lashon of the Gemara, that's the lashon of Rashi. Shelo yazunu hakol, and they're gonna like enjoy themselves staring at Moshe's face. Moshe's face had such spiritual delight.
What are they right?
They couldn't stay. They couldn't look at it, right? They wouldn't look. Moshe Rabbeinu did not want them. God did not want them. They did not deserve to look at his face for no purpose. Says Rashi, continues Rashi, V'nodlo b'shosh shahayim edaber em Yisrael. B'shosh shahayim makam nedaber imo, I'd say so. B'teso yotza b'lo masfe. But, when he would talk to the Jewish people, he would take it off. Right?
That's what they need.
Because that was a moment. That was a moment of spiritual revelation. In other words, again, excuse me, again, pardon the concept. Please forgive me. Pardon the analogy. Right? But a guy, you know, the woman's husband comes home, so she could expose her body to him. He can see, he can enjoy his wife, right? Staring at his wife's body. What do you mean? That's his wife. That's his wife. Right? That's the point. Right? And and he could see his wife's body. In other words, that's what's happening here. You want to see God? There's a time and a way. It used to be that they merited to see God. But then they had felt it to a much lower level. They couldn't even see God. Right? They couldn't see God and they couldn't see Moshe. When Moshe has a heart-to-heart with God, he stares at him. He takes off his mask. They stare at each other. And when Am Yisrael had an opportunity, had a message from God, then they would indeed stare at Moshe's face while they spoke. That was a moment when they were allowed they were allowed to have exposure to His holiness, right? And I think the terminology is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. What's the lashon? Shelo yezunu hakol mayam. Zan means like to get nourished. So Moshe Rabbeinu will learn in Chazal say he was nourished from staring at God. He was nourished from exposure to God. Nourished physically, literally physically nourished from his exposure to God. It nourished him. It kept him alive for 40 days and 40 nights. And the Jewish people, they were nourished. They were nourished. They were nourished by staring at Moshe's face. They got their spiritual fix, their spiritual lift, their spiritual sustenance and nourishment from pleasure from staring at Moshe's face when he spoke to them the words of God. Amazing. That's what Rashi's telling us, an added dimension. Okay? I would say this. We have to stop for today. I will say this. One day, Be'ezrat Hashem, I told you, if I ever write a sefer, Hashem should bless me. If I ever get to write a...
When?
Please God. If I ever get to... For many years, I've always said, if I'm lucky, if Hashem kisses me, to be able to write write a book of Torah, which is like a dream, a book of Torah ideas. There's no question in my mind. This passage is going to have a part here. In other words, I find this, like I said, to be an unbelievably rich source of interplay between God and man, and Moshe and God, the Jewish people and God, holiness and what it is and how to protect it and who is worthy of it and who's not worthy of it, and exposure to the intimacy of God and viewing God. This whole thing is so fascinating. It's such a fascinating story. And like I said, little known. Some people never even heard of the story. Okay, but this is unfinished. We close the book for today, for this week. An unfinished piece of a discussion, but certainly food for thought. Something for you to think about. I would relish your thoughts, your ideas, your creativity. I'm still waiting for your answers to my other question from last week. May we all merit. I bless you, and bless me back. Oh, we should all merit holiness and hiskarvas. Kiras Hashem Lito. Thanks for listening.